That becomes a problem. When I got notes on my phone, and we all got something, because we're all focused on this right here. He refreshes or restores my soul. These four words that will change your life forever. He restores, he refreshes, he rejuvenates my soul. And the problem we can have in our soul is it could get so caught up in everything else that it feels downcast, that our soul starts to wither down. And if you think about anything being restored, you ever seen a restored car? My goodness. Jen, she's always wanted like a 66 black convertible, white leather chair, Mustang convertible, Shelby convertible with the big old engine, two pipes popping out the back, all restored. Just jet black, white bucket seats. Anybody had that thought in their head, just what I just said? Yeah, I'm a Camaro guy too. I've had like four. Jen said you ain't got to ride in my car, so that's cool too. But when you restore something, you bring it back to the original state that it was in, and even better sometimes. When Christ comes to restore our soul, he wants to take it back to the original state. Not when you wasn't with him, but when he formed us and wanted us to have this moment with him. He restores our soul back to the original state. Remember when you was a child and some of those thoughts, you didn't even, nothing really, you didn't have all this pressure of life and voting and people and work and money and bills and crazy cousins that won't leave your house and crazy family members because they ain't going to take care of their own kids and T.D. Jakes. Okay. But when he restores your soul, it's back to that original state where there's just... He brings you back to this original state that he wants to. What's crazy about Psalm 23 is we can picture this, okay? I have all this in my notes, and I'll read some more in a little bit. But when we talk about the first verse, that the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. We can kind of see that. And it says that he makes us lie down in green pastures. We see that. Sheep lying down. That he leads us beside still waters. We need that. We see that. But the game changer to this shepherd experience to watching sheep going is when he says he restores my soul. Then you got to question that. I see the sheep laying by the green pasture. I see the sheep by the still waters. Now he restores my soul. David is turning this thing into a personal experience now. We're seeing it now, verse 3, part A in verse 3. Now we're seeing something different. He restores my soul. Whoa, hold up. I don't see the sheep like that. How do I know that? That's inward. But the problem we have, is it okay if I preach for a minute? The problem we have, whatever. The problem we have is that we like to point out what that restored soul looks like for somebody else. I know what they're going through. He restores their soul. Yeah. That's going to be good. They're going to need that. Restoring their soul. And in that soul, that soul searching, we like the first 10 point the fingers at the ones we know. And we're concerned. It's a natural concern that we have. That we want to, like, you know, they're going through some stuff. So he's praying that God restores their soul. But he said, my soul. Say my. That's you. So if he restores your soul, quit pointing the finger at whose soul needs restored. You have to look at you. What areas in my life need restored? The problem we have, if you call yourself a Christian, is we can get so complacent in how we do church and how we listen to these scriptures, Psalm 23. Some of you can quote that from top to bottom. Some of you can quote the Lord's Prayer from top to bottom. Some of you can quote the Beatitudes from top to bottom. Some of you can quote John 3:16 from top to bottom and forget about 17 or 15. Some of you, you see what I'm saying? We have this Christian culture, Christian lingo that we, and it's the word of God, but we're just reading it to read it. When are we going to dig in and find that it's refreshing, that it does actually restore my soul? We hear you saying it. You might hear some preachers saying it. Furtick saying it. Anybody you listen to, Joyce Myers, if you're out there listening to somebody that's preaching the gospel, you hear it, it's good. But when is it going to dig in to be good for your soul for real? When is it being applied? Not just because the problem we have is if we just hear it and it's just this blanket that covers us, yeah, that's a good thing. And then your blanket becomes a security blanket, and you can't go and be active out in the community because you're still holding on to your blanket. Well, hold on. Take your blanket off and let it get in your soul. Hide that word in your heart so you won't sin against it. Don't hide it on above you, just holding it. Put it inside your heart and get active in it. And that's when you take the step of faith. When you take the step of faith, that's where he meets the need. You're living in a step of faith. You are walked into a step of faith today. This church is a step of faith. All that craziness over there is a step of faith. In an hour and a half, we packed over 2,000 bags of candy. That's a step of faith. That is a step of faith. What is that about? Just loving on kids. What is the tool we're using? Halloween. Oh, you said Halloween. That's All Hallows Eve. Oh, that's the devil. That was my tongues and whatever. I'm so sick and tired of Christians hiding in the dark. It drives me crazy. You're no different than the lost if you're still in the dark. Turn your lights on. We've got to light it up this season. Lighten it up. So we're going to be making an impact. Whether we dress up in goofy outfits and just love on these kids, they're going to know we love them. They're going to know Jesus loves them. They're going to know that there's a church here that loves them, a people that love them, an amazing kids ministry that loves them, a youth ministry that loves them. You see what I'm saying? There's a big picture. There's a big picture to this. When he restores your soul, it's almost like that when you deal with computers, control, alt, delete. You ever had to deal with that? Some of you are like, what are you talking about? I got a floppy disk. You know, like, floppy disk, not floppy bird, floppy disk. Flappy, watch your mouth. When your computer is like, anybody had dial up? Oh, he's dead. Transformers. But when things start to freeze up and it's off, jacked up, control, alt, delete. You gotta get all hands involved. See, what's funny is God gets on his knees and gets all involved in it. And he control, alt, deletes. He says, I'm going to restore this soul real quick. I'm going to put it back to the way I needed it. Now, here you go. The unfortunate thing is we see grass. We see still waters. And then when we switch gears and say the soul, oh, that means I have to look within. But you don't want me to look within because I'm already full of anxiety and I get stuff when stuff doesn't go the right way. If I start looking within, it's just going to be a mess because I just can't handle. You see where people really are when this pandemic first hit, how people reacted and responded. There's so many people that get so wrapped up in all this stuff that is so, I'm not saying that there's not things going on and the people haven't been dealing with sickness and stuff, but it's how you respond to the sickness. When he restores your soul, he doesn't say, I'm just going to restore your flesh. He doesn't say that even he's going to restore just like, man, I'm sick in my body. He didn't even say that in that moment. You know, I'm going to restore that sickness. He said your soul. Your soul. And I think the thing is what we need to realize is if our soul can get in order, if our souls can seriously get in check and in order, no matter what sickness, no matter what craziness around us happens, I'm good. But we have to act like we because we're so used to the system. You know what I'm talking about. Your sin's not as bad as theirs, right? Because it's just a misdemeanor. It's just a little white sin, a little black sin. we look at sin as a part of the justice system. And so we can't let our soul fully be developed because into that restoring of who he is, because we're so used to the way, well, he did this. Well, what, hold on. Don't make me go back and grab a big, huge log and bring it out and show you. The problem we have is that when we restore the soul, we always want to point at somebody else because nobody wants to dig deep inside first. And light, when light is around, it illuminates. And so if there's anything inside the soul that doesn't belong, well, the light casts this light. The darkness don't overtake the light. So it stays hidden. The light overtakes the darkness so it gets exposed, so it can get healed, so it can be restored. So when he restores our soul, it's one of those moments of having to really just, God, I give it all. I mean, we don't have to sit and try to hide something and say, you know, you can have that, but this. You can't have this. So I'm going to hide that. I'm going to keep that in there. No, he wants all of it. He wants everything. Because the moment you give him everything, for real, everything, all those things inside, that's when true healing happens. You can say, man, I gave him this and that, but then your attitude reflects something different. So if he's restoring your soul, what, except for what? That time, those times you always respond that way? That restores my soul. The times you look at that person that way, if he's going to restore your soul, he wants to restore all of your soul. He's not in the business of restoring just a partial of your soul. He wants all of it. He wants you to live free and healthy in your life. Yeah, he lays you down in green pastures. It's healthy. He puts you by the still waters, even though they're still moving. That satisfies my thirst. But then he's like, I need to restore your soul. Because if you can just trust in me when all things are going bad, when you can just trust in me when you're in a war, when you're in chaos, when there's a whirlwind just wrapped around your mind, if you can just put everything and put it on and let me restore you, then no matter what, you ever seen those commercials where they're in the middle of like Manhattan or something and everybody's moving back and forth and the person's standing still, just... That to me looks like a restored soul moment. Like when chaos is all around and you're just like... And then people ask, and this is the greatest part. Why are you smiling? Didn't you just lose that? Why are you smiling? Aren't you going through that? My soul's good. There was a moment when I was struggling with my health, and you can ask a few people. I think Crystal asked me one time, and she said, "What's you going? Are you all right? What's going on?" I said, "My soul's good." I kept saying, "My soul, my body might not be good. My soul's good, and I got to keep that thing in check. That my soul's good. My flesh might be falling apart." Might be going through something, but my soul's good. And your soul will reflect the rest of your body. Your soul will reflect the body, which will reflect your household, which will reflect your home and the children and the people around you. You personally are around all the time. Because it's contagious. The soul, when it's restored, it's contagious. I always want to be around somebody that's going to lift me up, encourage me. And yeah, those same people will do the other end too. Will keep you accountable and it kind of hurts a little bit. I've never met somebody that just says, you know what? I can't wait to get around Sister Tacky Mouse. She always discourages me and tears me down. I just love going to her house. She's such a great woman. She just knows me. She gets it. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? When your soul is restored, it changes everything. It's like a magnet. People want to get around it. If not, what happens is people won't stay away from it a little bit. Yeah. Ah. But see, when your soul's restored, even if somebody else is not, you see it from a different perspective because it's restored. You see it from the lens of Christ, then your lens of your flesh, because you want to say what you might think is the truth. But what does Christ say about that person? Go and sin no more. What's Christ write down in the dirt when we don't know what he said? Can you stoop down and write down? Or are you too good? Keep that nose high. When he restores your soul, everything changes. This point right here, I'm just telling you right now, this point right here in this valley, this is the game changer. This changes everything. Absolutely everything. If your soul can't be restored, when you take the valley will crumble you. You will fall into the depression of the valley. instead of walking on top of it. If you can't get your soul restored, you restore my soul, God. Whether you restore my marriage, whether you restore my finances, whether you restore my health, you restore my soul. And if my soul's good, everything else, how I deal with these situations, my friendships and everything else, I have a different perspective on it. Because if not, you see people flipping out instantly, dramatizing Facebook or any social media instantly. It's because your soul's not restored and you put all your hope in somebody else's opinion. Somebody else, you could go ahead, buddy. I'm gonna stand here. You can sit, I don't care, I'm standing.
I was just thinking about what you said about why people don't like the restored part. Everybody likes the green pastures. Everybody likes laying by the water. And I think the reason is because that's the outward thing. Everybody gets to see it. Yeah. When they see me lay down on green pastures, everybody's watching me. Yeah. When they see me beside the still waters, everybody's watching me. But the thing that we don't like is the inward change that has to happen. And what God was just speaking to me while you were talking was that if we're not careful, we can become like the Pharisees, a bunch of whitewashed tombs. But on the inside, we're empty. And therefore, we're not restored at all. And then we sit in a seat of judgment where we're looking at everybody else. We're out in front praying when we're supposed to be in the closets, in the secret place praying. But we're out in the open praying so that everybody can see us. And then in that process, we're judging the people next to us because they're not as good as we are. But the reality is Jesus called the Pharisees out and said, you're a bunch of whitewashed tombs and you're full of dead men's bones. So if we're not careful, we can be full of dead men's bones, acting like we're restored, but yet we're dead. We have nothing living inside of us. And that's why laying down in the green pastures is a good thing. Leading us beside the still waters is a good thing. But in that process of doing all that, are you surrendering so that he can restore? Yeah. Right? Don't do the outward things just because they look good. Because then you're just religious. Because that's what religion does. Religion just goes through the motions, making it look good and making everybody think, oh, I'm good, I'm straight, I'm with Christ, I know his name, but that's all you know is his name because you surely don't know his face.
Yeah. So, Dakota, hit that cymbal for me without a bass or anything. Just kind of slap it around, a couple of them. Keep hitting it a few times. Just hit it a couple times. So, in the Bible, it talks about just a sound that doesn't make sense, that's annoying. And that's kind of what he's saying. If your soul's not restored, all you're doing is just making noise and there's no connection. Like, what is that? Why is that? Just, okay, prime example. We're getting in this dumb box that sits there. I step on. Like, that sheep. Goose father, you know, like I have to get my soul in order. I've stepped on this box, but that's what happens when you hear people that say they're a Christian and their soul's not restored and they're dealing with so much. Instead of just saying, you know what, God, I'm just going to be honest about it. I'm struggling. But when they say, well, I got this, I'm good, and it's bah, and that's what it sounds like, and you're like trying to decipher, what are you trying to say? Well, you might have good words.
Paul talked about it.
Yeah.
He said, there's people that'll go around and they'll prophesy, but they have not love. So they're like a clanging cymbal. And if we're not careful, we'll start listening to words from people that are just a loud noise.
Exactly.
And we'll start following that voice rather than the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
And so we're trying to hear people prophetically speak into our life that aren't even restored themselves. So why are we trying to receive something that ain't even restored?
Listen, before anybody tries to speak into my life, I need to speak in. Me and God need to have a communication. But we run to everybody else because the good word. No, how about the good Lord? Before all that all takes place, I'm not saying that God don't use people, but that's not your source. He's your source. So whatever happens here, anything out there should be a little bit of confirmation what you've already been dealing with. Good love. It's good stuff. It is, my goodness.
I was just thinking about how if you look up the word soul, it literally says it's the immaterial part of a being.
Yeah.
And I think the reason we struggle with being restored is because we think the outward represents the restoration, just like we talked about. And we want, when we go through valleys, we look for things. I think sometimes we think the reason we're going through a valley is because the outward things aren't working, whether it's your car, whether it's bills at home that you can't pay, whether it's relationships, whether it's your schooling and you're struggling in that, whether it's your job, whether it's your health and the things that are going on in the physical aspect.
Yeah.
But the point of it is that those things aren't really what God is looking to make sure are okay. It's not that he doesn't want us well and he doesn't want us to be well, but if all those things around us are well, but in here is not good, then it doesn't really matter, because then all those things really are not good. And the point of God touching our heart and our soul is because he wants to get to that immaterial stuff that we hold on to and that leads and directs us. And I was thinking about restore for a while. That's been the word over the women all year that God gave, was the word restored.
Yeah.
And I started to think about different things that have happened as we've gone through, and I was thinking about my life personally and how it started several years ago that I started really struggling physically inside with things going on in my body. And it was a really tough, tough time, even to the point that it had gotten so bad that by the time we came to this building, not everybody knows all of this. That was probably, it was supposed to be the best years of our life when we transitioned, but those were the hardest, and I thought at that moment the worst years of mine. I was physically struggling so bad that being in pain constantly was getting to the point that I felt defeated and discouraged, and I wanted everything on the outside to be better. I wanted to feel better. I wanted everything to be better. I wanted relationships to be better. And I literally got stuck myself in that valley of that depression. And yes, pastors can go through depression just like anybody else and be discouraged. But the problem of it was is that I was really looking for that fix of my body to be better. And I began to think about how this last year God has really restored some things in me. Yeah, I've had to go through multiple surgeries and multiple things and to be cleared of some stuff. But I began to think about being restored, and God spoke to me the other night, and I don't know, I hope that this resonates with you, as he began to speak to me and he said, it wasn't until you had exhausted your resources that I could restore you. And he said, Jen, if you really look at it, in the valley is where the greatest natural resources are ever found. It's the place where there's the luscious meadows and the richest minerals and the richest soil and the greatest waters and the most natural things that have been there. And he said, you know, you were in a valley for a long time, but it wasn't until you stopped trying to figure it out yourself. And make sure, and I'm not saying, listen to me, I'm not saying doctors don't help and things, because God did lead me to specific doctors. And no, did I get a miraculous healing, like where it just came down and poof, I was better. And that happens to people. I believe that. But I believe God was doing something so much deeper in the inner parts of my being. To be able to understand and appreciate his hand in the middle of the darkest times, and now be able to look back and say that that's where the richest times that I spent with God. Those were the moments where I drew from his strength deeper than I ever have before, that I relied on him greater than I ever could, and where I've become different than what I ever could be without going through some of those things, because there was restoration. And God, he's wanting to restore our hearts. And eventually, when I just begin to let go and say, no matter whether you heal me, and I was really at a point, and I meant it, that whether I was to sing again or not, or to do whatever, and some of you don't even know, is that I came to a point to where I was either going to have to decide to feel better or not do this at all.
That was the decision the doctors were saying. If you feel better, you can't sing. If you sing, it's going to destroy your body.
And it wasn't even just singing. It was the speaking, the things that are going
talking,
on. It was either you do one or the other. And I just finally said, I'm not going to live like this. And God, I'm not going to take all the crap that they were throwing at me. And not that you shouldn't take medicines, that God, please listen. I'm not saying that you don't take your medicines. So please don't walk out of here and be like, well, Pastor Jen said, don't take my medicines because God said she was better. Don't do that. What I'm trying to say is it wasn't until I got to that point of really listening and saying, what is your wisdom and what is your will? And help me find that direction. And until then, I'm not going to move. And if you want me to stop, I'll stop. And if you don't, I won't. But I'm just going to allow you to come in. And God began to speak to me through something very simple. And God begins to restore. And I think that's the whole point and the whole key is that God wants to restore the soul to the deepest parts of it where you get the richness of his word. He's taking you back to that natural state, to the natural resource of who he is so that you can draw off of him to be restored. And until you let go of the things that are going on around you, that doesn't mean you don't use wisdom. That's the point of it, is you gain his wisdom. You draw on what he's wanting. If he's asking you to go to the doctor and do things, don't be stubborn and not go to the doctor. If he's asking you, if you believe and he gives you a full miracle, which I believe we've been seeing lately because God has been restoring the soul. I believe when the soul begins to be restored, then the body on the outside begins to imitate what the inside is doing. And I'm not saying that everybody deserves to have things happen. Please don't listen to that. I was struggling, and I was struggling bad physically in my body to the point to where I was so emotionally distraught because of pain and things that I could no longer tolerate, that what happened was the inside of me was no good. And so what happened was I was just dwelling off of everything else that was happening and drawing off of the well that was within myself instead of drawing off the rivers and the waters of God. And until that happened, until I came to a point to begin to really say, it doesn't matter if I feel better. It doesn't matter if I continue to hurt. What matters is that you are God and you are in control. And until you have that full control over my life, if here is well, then the outside can be well. And then what happened is all of a sudden in the last year, I begin to notice a change in my body. I begin to notice a change in things that are happening. I begin to notice physical healings and things that begin to be restored because I begin to allow my soul to truly rest in those waters, that I don't have the control over all of it, that my hands are not on top of making it work, that it doesn't matter what kind of medicines or medications come at me. I was sick of band-aids, I was sick of cover-ups, and I was ready for God to come in and overflow and take control. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Some of us in this room are having things that are going on physically, that are having things go on emotionally, that are having things go on with our bills, that are having things go on in our homes. And the problem of it is we have not relinquished full control to Jesus Christ to come into that full resource of the naturalness of his blood and his water. He said, it's my body and it's my blood. That's the most natural resource that you can ever attain in your life. And he wants to come in and take over. He wants to come in and take over. He wants to come in and take over. And you can be looking at me and say, well, Jen, I've prayed, so you're saying that I'm not getting healing? Because that is not what I'm saying. But if you are still struggling to the point in your mind that you are frustrated and you are battling constantly and constantly because there's something that you just wanted, come to the end of your resources. They will never fix it. They will always run out. They will always run dry. But the resource of the river of God is in the middle of the valley. And when you come into that place, he'll restore. Here, right here. It doesn't matter what else is going on. Do I still struggle? Absolutely. Are there days where my body wants to respond just like it did last year? Absolutely. But my mind is made up. It's a made up mind that I am not allowing any of that to dictate and control me any longer. It's a made up mind.
I'm going to say something. I started thinking about all this, and it all lines up with what I read to you the other day. And God said that when we're citizens, if we're a citizen in the United States, we have rights. And God spoke to me about being a citizen of the kingdom of God. And not being a citizen of the kingdom of dark. Some of you have been double dipping.
Jesus.
Some of you have been doing your worship and you've been paying your tithes and you've been doing all these things that you think's right. And in reality, you're not a citizen of the Most High God. You're just doing things out of familiarity. And God spoke to me and he said, you're not a citizen when you go to a different country. Unless I had citizenship in a different country, I'm not a citizen of that place. I have no rights. And the Lord told me that you have all right. You have all rights in the kingdom of God for your soul to be healed. I'm not double dipping. I don't have dual citizenship. See, sometimes you think you have rights because you've been doing all these things in the flesh.
Amen.
And you think that you're doing like, okay, I can do this and I can listen to that and I can watch that. When in reality, you don't have rights in the kingdom of God because you've been double dipping in the kingdom of darkness. And so what happens is you can't get your soul saved because you haven't been standing in the right citizenship of the kingdom of God. So your mind's not set in the right order. It says if my soul is well, it causes my body to be well. And God spoke to me and he said, there's people that are double dipping. There's people that have dual citizenship. And so it's causing you not to be healed in your physical. That's why you can't see right. In your soul, when you're healed and you look over at something else that's going on with somebody, you can look at it through the kingdom of God, through the word of God. You can see. And then you can come and love them and speak to them in the right order.
It changes compassion.
It changes everything.
You have more compassion and you don't come with an harshness. When the soul is well, what comes out of your mouth is going to be well.
Well, that doesn't mean that we don't struggle, because I was just standing here and thinking about bodily things, because I still struggle bodily with some things, like literally. And I was just thinking about this, like with my stomach and some of the things that have gone on. But maybe it's not that I could still have the same problem going on inside of me, but my mindset's different than what it was when I was just so focused on my problem. And that could be the difference. Now that my mind is restored in the focus where I don't have to focus on, I'm always not feeling good, I don't have things going on, things are happening to me, or whether my bills are not paid, or I can never cope up to that, or whether I feel like my cars smell money, and every time we get it, they break down. You know what I'm saying? Things like that, or not being able to have something nice. You know, you get to that point where you're like, can I just not have something nice? You know what I'm saying? Just not happen and do. But what happens, it's not that maybe it's still not working. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's not the point that I'm struggling or going through something. Maybe it's not the point that my finances just instantly turn around, because sometimes when you get in debt, you have to, you know, work hard to get back at that. That's not the point that I don't have to face things, or that we as Christians are never going to struggle, because let me tell you what, there are sicknesses and things that are going on and we don't know why things happen. That's just the point of sin. When it entered the world, it opened up a gateway of all kinds of crazy things. Whether you love God or not, your bodies are flesh, and that's what it begins to try to reap of. And what happens though is when we get to that point, speaking about being restored, I think it's just looking at, you know, change the mindset. Change how you view everything. Not so negative all the time, but put some positives in there. Allow your life to speak the word and do things. Instead of getting up, Brandon would ask me sometimes, he would say, I didn't think you were hurting anymore. And I'd say, well, I am. I just don't talk about it anymore, because I felt the more I talked about it, the worse that I made myself.
When you magnify it, it becomes worse. And I know there's a scripture in the Bible that says, magnify the Lord, exalt his name. So what are you magnifying? When he restores your soul, magnify him. Yeah. All this other stuff, you know, I remember, and they do hurt. That's the tiniest thing. But man, it hurts so bad. You ever had a splinter? My goodness, those things hurt. And the more you keep magnifying, you know, like I always tell the kids, like, guys, okay, it's dealt with. Let's keep going. It's okay. You know, if you fall off your bike, okay. I've seen people, I saw somebody fall off their bike, and parents picked them up, wiped them down, put them in the house, gave them a drink, sat down. I'm like, my kid falls off a bike, we'll wipe off something, but we're getting on the bike. Because we're going to conquer this stuff. Because I can't let other things set in my way. Because the moment, listen, when he restores your soul, the enemy wants to taint in your soul real quick. Yeah. And it's over the dumbest thing sometimes. It starts there because that's what starts to just creep in, the dumb stuff. Somebody does you wrong. Somebody cuts you off on the road. Somebody says something crazy to you. It starts to try to taint in your soul because you start to want to react. And sometimes it's usually the people in your own family that tries to taint it because it's just... what happens?
Yeah, but because you got back to the rights of the citizenship of the kingdom of God, you went back into that order, not saying that you were out of it, okay? But you start, but see, the right standards of your mind, because your mind connects to your soul. And so when you're renewing your mind in the word of God, you're going into that right citizenship of the kingdom of God.
Let me read this, and we're gonna transition. I wish Daniel was here. Because my fingers are numb. They are. He's so good at playing guitar. He restores my soul, my life. The good shepherd not only brings back the sheep that have ran off, but he gives life to the dead. We were dead in our transgressions and in our sins, but the good shepherd gave us new life. The sheep that are weak and sick, injured, those sheep the shepherd strengthens and heals and brings and binds up the wounds, like it was said in Ezekiel 34:16. And if you just write that down and look at it on your own, Ezekiel 34 talks about the good shepherd, about who he is. It's so good. That whole thing is amazing. He restores them to full life so that they are once again able to stand and walk and feed and hold their own as a part of the flock. Our old life left us not only dead in our sin, but weak, sick, damaged in our sins. It is the good shepherd when restoring our souls, binds up the wounds and heals the sickness and gives us strength in a place of weakness. Our soul is not just our life, but is a seat of our appetite. He restores my soul, makes us hunger and thirst for righteousness. He feeds that hunger and quenches that thirst. Our soul is also a seat of our emotions. He restores our soul. He gives us joy in the morning and after the night of weeping. He turns our mourning into dancing. He removes the sackcloth of lamentation. In distress. Lamentation is a passionate expression of grief, sorrow, or weeping. He gives us new clothes for gladness, the garments of praise he puts on us when he restores our soul. The soul also occasionally refers to our mental acts, our thinking and our knowing. In restoring our soul, the good shepherd restores our thinking and our knowing. We begin to understand things in a new way. The word that once was more than just words on a page becomes meaning. We begin to hear and understand and know the voice of the shepherd. We hear his call and we respond and we follow his leading no matter where he leads. That's the good shepherd. That's what he does to our soul. He restores our soul. And everything that's connected to our soul, like she said, in all areas, from the emotional, from the mental state. You know how crazy mental illness is right now? Everywhere? It's rampant. When he restores your soul. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm at the store, I see stuff. I see people that are, you know, maybe dysfunctional, and I see handicapped kids, and I see... some stuff going on with people that have anger issues, and I see kids that are pilled up because the doctor said they need to be. And then inside of myself, I'm like, God, you just need to restore their soul. restore their soul, bring it back to what, back to the original state of how you recreated it. Restore their soul when you see somebody handicapped or physically what they would say retarded. God, I know you can bend arms back and make eyes straight, and I know you can straighten up their walk, and I know they can get up. Restore them back to the original state, God. I know there's people in this room that are that deal with sickness.
But I've seen some of those people
be
more restored than people who are well.
Yeah. One example, and I know it's coming upon a year, but there was a woman that sat right over here where Raiden is. Her name was Nancy Black. And I've never seen a restored soul like that woman in the midst of the most pain she's ever felt in her entire life. When you would see a soul restored, you would see, you could see no matter what was going on. And did we pray for healing? Absolutely. Her soul was so good that no matter what, she's good. I'm good. God's got it. He's good.
Well, because she was proof that it wasn't about it being well. It was he is well. He is good right here. And I think that's the point. That's what I was trying to say with the midst. That doesn't mean everything just feels better all the time. And we still go through struggles and things. But when you're restored here, I think it just gives you such a different aspect on what you're going through that no matter what it is, you know, look at Job for an instant. He went through hell on earth and lost everything, but he was still well in the soul. Does that mean he didn't cry? No. Does that mean he didn't feel downcast? Nope. Does that mean he didn't struggle? Nope. That's not what that means. What it means was in the end, it didn't matter what he had. It was who he had, which was Jesus Christ. And that's because the soul was restored. And that's what I was trying to say for me, as my mind was not in the right place. My mind was so focused on everything going on that I think that it just magnified things going on and created more problems. And that's the thing, is if I can get my mind straight on who he is, that doesn't mean I won't have problems. But that's the old saying, a problems won't have me. And that's being restored.
The prophet Joel says, and I will restore for you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust. My great army, which I sent among you, you will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. The prophet Joel prophesied this, and what he was doing was he was prophesying of a moment when a baby would be born in a manger.
Yeah.
And when that baby was born in a manger, shepherds came to worship the real shepherd that just arrived on the scene. What he was there to do was to restore, not the people of Israel, not us, but he was there to restore the souls of the people that he had formed and created in their mother's womb. And he goes on to depict this as he grows up and he begins to speak to the Pharisees at the age of 12 years old, and he's teaching them. But greater than that, as he's older, in his 30s, he begins to walk down the bay, and as he looks over, he begins to call 12 men that weren't even worthy to be called at the moment. And what he was doing with Peter and James and John and all of these men was he was restoring their soul and preparing them to take the kingdom to places that nobody else could take it. He comes upon a woman as the Pharisees bring her out and throw her at Jesus' feet, a woman that was caught in the midst of adultery. And in that moment, he wasn't there to shame her. He was there to restore her. He meets a woman at a well that had been married 5 times and was living with a man. And he meets that woman, a Samaritan woman, that shouldn't have even been able to talk to him. But in that moment, he began to speak to her, and he said, "Give me a drink." And he says, "If you knew the gift of God that was standing in front of you, you would have asked me for a drink, and I would have given you living water." And at a moment's time, he restores her soul, and she becomes the greatest evangelist and goes back to her city and draws the whole city out. And as they come out, they said, "We don't even want to listen to you anymore, because what we see, we now believe for ourselves." It is a restoration place that God is trying to do in you right now. That he wants to restore you to such a degree that when you walk up to people, you have a well of something to give them that will bring restoration to them. You have a well living in you that is a fountain that will never run dry. It was a prophetic word given back before Christ ever came that he will restore the years that have been taken from you. And I just want to prophetically speak over you this morning this, that God is going to restore the things to you that the enemy has stolen. It might be sickness. It might be finances. It might be other things. But the greatest thing he's going to restore that the enemy has tried to steal is your soul. It's your soul.
What was the key word he said to her? If you knew the gift that was in front of you. Right there. It doesn't matter everything else she knew. Doesn't matter everything else she knew of what she was or what she was going through. She knew right then the gift that was in front of her. And that's where restoration began to stir and stir and stir inside of her, because that gift was greater than anything else that could take place in her body or in her mind or in the situation. Just like with that woman, when she walked away, it wasn't like she had a bunch of clothes on. It doesn't say everybody put a bunch of clothes on her while she was laying down there after pulled out from the middle of whatever she was doing. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say she got up, walked away from where she was, still maybe looking the same, but in here was completely different, because the gift that was right in front of her was received at an instant, and it changed her life.
But I think that when we're restored, then we can restore a city. When we're restored, we can restore a nation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was standing, and they said, you need to bow to that king. And they said, we're not bowing to that king. They were restored in the kingdom of God, in their citizenship. So they didn't have to bow. They stood there, and they said, no, we're going to turn up the fire. You ever had the fire turned up in your life? And all of a sudden, the fire gets a little bit hotter, and it's 7 times worse. Can you stand in the midst of that? Daniel stood when they said, no, you're not going to pray anymore. You're not going to go outside by your window, and you're not going to pray anymore. Or you're going to go to the lion's den. He stood there in the kingdom of God and prayed anyway. He was restored. So they put him in the lion's den, and what happened? The lions laid down. Because he was standing in that right standard of his soul. Not only your soul being healed, but get to the place where you can look out and say, oh my Lord, that city needs to be healed. That city needs to be, them people need to be restored. Because see, sometimes we're always looking at ourselves all the time. And that's not saying that this point right here doesn't mean that you don't look down into your soul and ask God. But sometimes we're so focused on ourselves that we don't even look out to even see anybody. Can you just stand with me, please? Come on, just search. Just search in there. Just let him search you.
God, I pray right now in this room that you give the wisdom that is needed to each and every single person in this room as you open their minds and their hearts and the depths of their soul to come in, God, and begin to restore right there. And God, that you would lead them to the next step as we are getting ready to go to that, to the path, the direction that you want to take them. But God, until our hearts are ready to be open to you, to be fully restored in the depths of our soul, God, how can we follow that next step with you? God, how can we be directed to that, God? I pray every heart that's broken in this room would be mended. Every mind, God, that's torn and tattered would be put back together. God, that the unraveling of the things that have happened over the last years to people, God, would begin to be sewn into a tapestry of what you want for your majesty. Begin to move over them today, Jesus.
If you want to take a bold step and say, you know what, I need my soul restored, just come on, step forward up here. We're just going to worship him for a little bit. Take that step. I'm telling you, that bold step. That bold step is going to be that step you need.
Jesus.
Control, Alt, Delete. He wants to restore your soul. There might be pieces of it that just need restored. It's okay.
And it's okay to say you're not okay. That's not the problem. That's the best place to be, is to say, I'm not okay right here because I'm struggling. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have you. It says his strength is perfect in your weakness. That's the key right there.
And you know, it doesn't matter what position you are in ministry right now. Come on. If you need to step out, you go ahead and step out.
Yeah. If you volunteer, you're on staff. It doesn't matter. Anybody. Restore our soul, God. Come on.
It seems my soul.
Some of your minds that's even been holding you in that chair. And there's a battle going on, even in some of you that are still sitting in your chair. I felt it when I started praying that, man, I have such a battle that I can't get out of my chair. Because if I got out of my chair, then I'm going to have to let go of everything. That's right, you'll have to let go of everything. It's really okay. And I just encourage you to go ahead and step. I know there's some more that just need to step. I just encourage you, if you just let go of that chair, step out. God's going to do something great in you.
How great your love is.
the soul.
How great your love.
No matter what you're thinking, no matter what you're going through, He wants your soul good.
How great your love is. No matter what changes, it sings my soul. God, we thank you that you continue to take the time for us. That you're the good shepherd, God. That you want to restore our soul. All areas of our soul, God. God, in this building, we, as your people, as your church, give you full control of our soul. Restore it to its original state. Restore our soul, God. It is yours. It belongs to you. God, I thank you for what you're doing, God. God, anxiety has to leave this room now. Depression has to go. It doesn't belong here. If you are the temple inside of us, it doesn't belong. Sickness has to leave the room. It doesn't belong here. You restore my soul. Death has to leave. Thoughts of suicide have to go. You restore my soul. Anxiety has to leave. Depression is gone. God, you touch us. You fill us. God, you've created us. You created us, God. You've breathed life into us. God, and we're just vessels, God, that you use. Continue to restore. That when we walk the path and something comes up to try to taint the soul you restored, that we stand on your word. That you continue to restore our soul. God, as we walk in this valley, God, you lead us. God, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the grass that you make us lay down in. And the still waters, God, as we can get a drink or we can reflect and meditate on you. But God, you're the great physician, so as you restore our soul, it's like a double-edged sword. Cut away what doesn't belong. And sometimes, God, it hurts. And sometimes we hold on to it so long it's become a part of our makeup. But that makeup, God, is what we created. You restore our soul. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in this house. We walk in that, restored. God, we thank you. As we've accepted you as Lord and Savior, and you've made us new. Forgive us, God, for the times that we didn't take care of the soul. The times that the Bible had more dust on it. God, forgive us for not spending the time we have with you. God, you restore our soul so everything else around us starts to fall in place. And if it doesn't fall in place, our soul is good. And we are at peace with you. God, we thank you for all these moments. God, I pray you touch the churches in this city. There's over 200 churches, God. That the kingdom mindset would rest over Terre Haute and realize there's an army just waiting. That they would rise up. That there's life in those bones. That we can make the greatest impact. That God, we can make church great again. We thank you. We love you with our whole hearts. And we will worship you until the very end. Amen. You know what's awesome is what he does. Listen, don't just let church be a moment that you just like, man, that was awesome. I want to hear about your Monday moments. I want to hear about your Tuesday moments. I want to hear about that moment that happened at the store. Let me mention a few things to you before we go. I got to say a couple of announcements, and if you're praying, just keep praying.